It's Thursday, July 9th. I'm Lucy Steiner.
And I'm Sam Cedar. Which of these stories will you be talking about today?
Donald Trump is a menace to public health and also to school district budgets. Federal funding could be at stake for districts that don't hold in-person classes in the fall. Pandemic be damned. Meanwhile, a Supreme Court ruling revokes birth control coverage for thousands of women. Employers can now claim a religious exemption under the Affordable Care Act. And lastly, Washington, D.C. is set to restore voting rights for incarcerated citizens. In 48 states, people who are or have been in prison for a felony still can't vote.
You are listening to Majority FM's AM Quickie, and these are the stories you need to know.
Trump threatened yesterday to cut off federal funding for school districts that don't fully reopen with in-person classes in the fall. Luckily, in the U.S., most school districts don't rely completely on federal funding, instead raising money through local property taxes. But Trump's threats do unfortunately put emergency pandemic funds at risk everywhere. Many school districts started rolling out their reopening plans this week, and many are on course to defy Trump's wishes. The country's largest school district, New York City Public Schools, plans as of yesterday to send students back for in-person classes only 2 or 3 days each week in order to maintain social distancing. At more crowded schools, the New York Times reports, students might receive only 1 day per week of in-person instruction, and there is still no plan to provide families with childcare on days when those kids are doing their lessons online. Mayor Bill de Blasio said the plan will influence how the rest of the city reopens. As in many states, the governor also has authority over when and how schools reopen. Andrew Cuomo has yet to comment on de Blasio's plan. In California, Governor Gavin Newsom wants to leave many details of reopening up to local districts. But in a leaked recording obtained by the Los Angeles Times, LA County's top public health official told district superintendents that they needed to be ready to hold all classes online come fall. Public Health Director Barbara Ferrer told the superintendents it would be irresponsible not to have a backup plan that included all distance learning all the time. If that's irresponsible, what can one say about Trump's threats? That they're outrageously reckless, borderline homicidal? Mike Pence announced yesterday that the Centers for Disease Control would release new guidelines for schools next week. He made it clear that the new guidelines would favor in-person classes just like Trump wants. Sure seems like health experts have different ideas, but when is the last time the government listened to them? The public health director in Tulsa, Oklahoma, said a surge in coronavirus cases followed Trump's rally there 2.5 weeks ago. Separately, Johns Hopkins University reported that U.S. coronavirus cases passed the 3 million mark. That's one case for every 100 people in the country. The virus is out of control, and it seems like the White House is determined to make sure every American gets exposed. It's just nuts. More than 100,000 women, and millions more in the future, stand to lose their health insurance coverage for birth control thanks to the Supreme Court ruling yesterday. With a 7-2 vote, the court upheld the Trump administration regulation that grants employers a religious exemption to providing birth control coverage under the Affordable Care Act. Justices Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Sonia Sotomayor dissented. Justice Elena Kagan voted with the majority, which is technically a patriarchy, but still. The case stemmed from a challenge by the states to the Trump rule creating a religious exemption for birth control. Pennsylvania and New Jersey argued that the state treasuries would be left to pick up the tab for health care that should fall to employers. A federal appeals judge granted an injunction last year that preserved health care for many women, but the Supreme Court's word is now final. I guess we'll just need to find a better Supreme Court.
Hey, Majority.fm's AM Quickie is fueled by JustCoffee.coop. Just Coffee is a worker-owned coffee roaster based in Madison, Wisconsin, that has sponsored the Majority Report for nearly a decade. Check out their collection of fair trade roasts, including our own Majority Report blend, and regardless of what you order, receive 10% off of your order when you use the code MAJORITY at checkout. All shipping, of course, is free. That's coupon code MAJORITY at justcoffee.coop.
City leaders in the District of Columbia are preparing to end voter disenfranchisement for felons, at least locally. If Mayor Muriel Bowser signs an emergency bill put forward by Councilmember Charles Allen, more than 4,000 people will regain their right to vote. The emergency measure is expected to pass. And Councilmember Allen told The Appeal, a news website covering justice issues, that the council could make the measure permanent as part of its budgeting process later this month. The emergency bill will let convicts and incarcerated felons vote in the November election by request. Beginning next January, D.C. will be obliged to provide voter information and ballot access to people in prison. The bill also includes some limited police reform, including bans on chokeholds, tear gas, and rubber bullets. D.C. will join Maine and Vermont in allowing all incarcerated people to vote. According to The Appeal, D.C. has the highest incarceration rate of any state, and over 90% of its incarcerated population are black. It's nice to see a win for voting rights for a change.
And now,
for some quicker quickies.
Quicker quickie.
A new study by a former Google worker revealed thousands of previously unreported contracts between Silicon Valley companies and the U.S. military. The researcher, Jack Paulson, protested Google's work with Chinese censors and the U.S. security state before quitting the company in 2018. Per NBC News, he analyzed 30 million government contracts and subcontracts from the Defense Department and federal law enforcement going back 5 years, had more than 350 subcontracts since 2016, and Google had 250. Microsoft had more than 5,000, most of which I assume involved asking the feds if rebooting their computer solves the problem. Newly released transcripts based on body camera footage show that George Floyd told Minneapolis cops more than 20 times that he couldn't breathe before he finally died under Officer Derek Chauvin's knee. The transcripts were contained in court filings. According to the New York Times, which reviewed the texts, Chauvin told Floyd to stop talking after Floyd said officers were going to kill him. He added, quote, "It takes a heck of a lot of oxygen to talk," unquote. Chauvin faces second-degree murder charges and up to 40 years in prison. Torrential rains and severe flooding in Japan have killed at least 58 people, according to the Washington Post. Prime Minister Shinzo Abe called on lawmakers to declare an extreme disaster. Landslides are also reportedly wreaking havoc in affected areas, mostly southern and central Japan. Those parts of the country still face another foot of rainfall in the forecast this week. A new DNA study claims to have proven once and for all that people from the Polynesian Islands share an ancestral connection to Native Americans from Mexico down to Chile. The study appeared in the journal Nature. The findings confirmed that Polynesian sailors traversed more than 4,200 miles of open ocean to travel to South America some 800 years ago. That's several hundred years before that enormous poser, Columbus. And not only did the Polynesians bring sweet potatoes to the New World, they managed to avoid waging a murderous religious crusade across two continents. Give them a statue, for Christ's sake.
Quicker. Quickie.
That's it for the Majority Report's AM Quickie today. Sam's out on vacation, but the Majority Report team will have more live-to-tape content lined up later this afternoon.